Have you ever seen a shadow figure? What if you found a new marking on your body? Do your toys ever play by themselves? Today we test the believability of Listener Submission Collection Volume 4.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual,
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Man, every time I say that last line, it feels like I'm being condescending. We're diving into the unknown and the unusual. That's not how I mean it. It just sometimes it comes off that way.
See, that's funny because I was just thinking, and tell you whether or not we find it believable. It's like, who gives a shit what we think?
Exactly. Anyway, let's talk about some people who cared about what we think enough to set us some stories.
All right, our fourth listener submission collection.
Again, yeah.
These type of episodes are reserved for folks who send us paranormal encounters. They're just not quite long enough to be their own episodes, but we don't want to just throw them in the trash.
Yeah, I go through and I go short next to them.
You do. You literally write short. So I know, you know, because it can't be listener collection next to listener collection. Like, We have to space stuff out, throw a little Mothman in there.
Yeah.
Throw a Bunny Man Bridge or whatever.
Yeah. I was listening to the interviewee we just had. I was listening to his episode. I was like, we need to do an episode on doppelgangers. That needs to happen.
Yeah. So as a heads up, we just recorded our interview with Ben, who submitted his story, which turned into episode 61, The Doppelganger. So just a quick plug. We always try to interview the folks that send us their submissions, and that's all on Patreon. We'll plug that much, much later, and so you don't forget about that now. Charlie and I are in different states, so I don't know what the sound quality is going to be like. I'm sure it's going to be still good,
but it's not going to be as stellar. Yeah.
It's like that, like you when you walk outside, and it's just like you breathe in the air, and it's cool, but it feels good and refreshing, and like there's a little dew on the grass. That is the crispness of our audio quality in my attic.
Oh, I was trying to figure out where you're going with that.
I'm in a hotel's room's living room area with furniture from a decade before I was born.
I'm in my echoey ass office, so.
Yeah, your office is incredible. There has to be a more cloth room in your house.
Probably in my actual bedroom. That's not cloth.
Your basement.
It's not cloth.
Isn't there carpet down there?
There is zero cloth, actually. Mm-hmm. No carpet.
Maybe I've never been there. I can see the hills behind Las Vegas from this window, though. So it's a really nice setting.
I have a really small walk-in closet I've been considering using, but my computer is here.
Is that your view from where you're at?
I have no view here. I'm just in a green room.
Ohio. I'll be back. But anyway, let's get into these awesome paranormal encounter stories.
Let me give you a little rundown really quick.
Yeah. Give it to me.
So our first one is from Justin, and Justin talks a little bit about a entity that he dubbed himself. So that's really unique. I don't want to get too far into it because I don't want to spoil it, but I've never heard of anything like this.
Are you giving me the table of contents right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The next one, I had to look up the name to say it. It's Molly. M-A-L-I.
What do you predict the timestamp's going to be? Now, because I'm thinking table of contents and pages.
Oh, Lord.
Now, obviously, you're going to be wrong, and that's not your fault. But if you had a guess, what do you think the timestamp for this next story is going to be?
What?
And just as a heads up, right now, recording, we're at about 4.5 minutes without intro music. So, let's say 5.
42.
42 minutes?
Yeah.
We're going to get to the second story at 42 minutes.
No, no. The second, okay. Second story, probably, I misunderstood. Probably 12 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my guess.
What's the second story about?
Molly, and basically it talks about her encounter with aliens.
Always a good topic.
Yeah, very good. I like it a lot. And then the last one is from Sally.
And this one's toys?
Yes, it is. It's toys. Haunted objects.
Give me a very confident timestamp.
For the last one?
Yep. This one's on you if you get it wrong.
Ooh, I'm like 17 or 21.
Okay.
Yeah. One of those.
You pick.
Yeah. All right. So let's just jump into it. This first story is from Justin. And I edited this, so this was third person. The other two, I did not. I liked the way they told them. I kept them first person. So you're here about Justin?
Yeah, let's talk about Justin.
Funny enough, he is from Jefferson County, Missouri. And I say funny enough because the listener submission we just talked about was in Missouri.
That's true. Part of it.
But
I was going to ask about the Alaska Triangle, but I always feel guilty. Like if just because you have listened to us and because you submitted a story doesn't mean you continually listen.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, did you listen to our Alaska Triangle? I want to ask you about it. And then they're just like, I didn't.
Oh, I'm not up to date. Actually, I'm about 40 episodes behind. I'm like, well, that's fine. You're breaking my heart, but it's fine.
I actually f***ing hate you guys.
That'd be pretty intense.
But thanks for having me on the interview.
But the honesty would be nice, though.
It would be.
So Justin's from Jefferson County, Missouri, and he and his family are from a small town. I think you have to be if you're from Missouri. But they live in a pretty decent size of the forest, size part of this forest.
They live in the forest?
Partly, I think, yeah. It's a really, really rural.
They got trees, sky forts, tree forts.
I think you can imagine every tree has a sky fort in it. So his encounter with what will be called the Dittmer Shadow starts when Justin was in third grade. Now, when he first experienced it, he woke up early in the morning on a weekend, which is, I think, weird for a third grader, but that's okay. He started to head out of his front door for some reason, and that's when it appeared. A tall, black, skinny figure, just standing there. It was so tall to Justin that he couldn't even see its face. And this was his first encounter, so there's a couple more coming. But this is when he had his first encounter with the paranormal, and it made such an impression that he never stopped believing. The next time the shadow figure came back was during a fateful night. A few months later, there was a commotion as something tried to break in the back door. There were two doors, a main door and a storm door. The main door was mercifully locked when whatever it was tried to come in. It hit the door to the outside with so much force that the storm door on the inside swung violently into the house, and the main door's handle was moving like a demon was on the other side. The curtains were shut so no one in the room could see what was there. And that's when they heard a loud thwack as something hit the door. Justin's neighbors, grandfather, and his dad were all home at the time, and Justin's home. All of them were scared of what they heard. The next day, all of the men searched for evidence of last night's almost intrusion. All they found was a rock the size of a hand on the porch, and that's the thing that had hit the door the night before.
Yeah, I don't like that one, man.
Huge rock. And that's when Justin determined whatever this thing was, it was enough of a thing that it can move giant rocks, big rocks.
A rock the size of like an adult hand?
And this was the last event until recently. Justin's mother was cleaning dishes in the sink, and she could see out of the backyard, like the window into the backyard, and she could see over the fence. And she said that she saw something that looked like a black bear. So Justin decided to see if he could see the bear through the fence. He ran out to the fence and looked through the cracks, and he did see he saw something. He said, quote, "He saw the thing, all black, tall, skinny, and big claws. It ran on two legs, and it could run fast. It seemed to be able to cling to trees. I don't sleep with my blinds open anymore. I am convinced this entity is the same one from years ago, and he's back. I call him the Dittmer Shadow," end quote. So that is Justin's experience about this Dittmer Shadow thing that he's talked about and dubbed himself.
Where did the naming come from?
Dittmer is the town where he lives.
That's right. Okay, so it's his town's shadow figure.
Yeah, but it's more than that, though. It's like it's like almost a cryptid.
Yeah, that was kind of, especially with the last story. I don't think I would feel this way if it wasn't for the last encounter. And obviously the second time it threw something, which, you know, shadow figures can make objects move. But the last encounter, like where it's almost like a bear and it ran off, like that's not typically spirit behavior, right? Like it does feel like more like a cryptid or something more organic than a spirit.
Yeah, it feels, well, he said it specifically had claws.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. That kind of flipped my whole mindset on what I thought it was or what it might be.
I know. It's could be a couple things. Maybe it's, you know, I hadn't thought of this earlier. Maybe it's multidimensional. Like, gosh, remember the Charlie Red Star? We talked about that might have been a multidimensional ship.
Yeah, like the haziness of it and everything like that. I don't know. I feel like that's our kick lately, is in multidimensional, but also it's hard to disprove, so.
Maybe it's a bear.
I think one of my maybe it's a bear. Now, I guess my question would be, just be like, from Justin's perspective, this seems like it's the same entity. Is there a chance this is not? Is there a chance all three stories are not the same thing?
Nothing's related. It just kind of feels like it is.
Well, it feels like it is because it's him and his story to us.
Right.
But, I mean, didn't he say until recently, like, when did the second story happen versus the last one? You know what I mean? Like, if these are years apart.
Yeah, they are. There's, like, he was in third grade 7 years ago, so.
Okay.
High school now.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not the same thing. I just think that there's a chance and it could be overlooked because of how the story's framed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. But we can talk about it more in the discussion. Let's move on to the next story with Molly.
So this timestamp that I'm looking at is 1338, which is not going to be correct for the final version. I just want you to know that.
Yeah. No, I know. I think I'm going to nail the 12-minute mark, honestly. Yeah.
The 12, okay, you're going to edit it in a way to be correct. You have all the power. Keep this in here. You have all the editing power. Like, I actually removed his first entire encounter to make it land on 12 minutes. They're going to be very confused, but I will be very correct.
Okay, so this next encounter takes place in the San Luis Valley, Colorado. Have you heard of that place before? Because I hadn't.
No, I like I like Colorado. I would like to go to Colorado.
Well, it's supposed to be a hotbed for alien activity.
Really?
We're going to find out in this story. But also, I looked it up, and yeah, there's multiple reports of aliens stuff going on there.
Maybe we'll have to give that the Hamilton, Montana treatment. And
dude, I almost made this like the main story.
And just paired it with encounters from that city.
Yeah, but I didn't because I was honestly pretty tired last night.
Oh, so you worked on this last night. So
yeah, that's fine. Well, yeah, I finished it up last night.
I'm just messing with you, dude. No, I like that idea, though, because I liked that. Like, because same, like Hamilton, Montana started as a listener submission. And then it's funny when you do research and you're like, holy shit, like there are a lot of people that experience this stuff here. I definitely think that should be an episode topic going forward.
What's it called? San Luis Valley, Colorado. San Luis. Okay, so Molly wrote a really nice little story, so I'm going to quote it. And you're going to hear a name. Go ahead.
I'm just going to lean back then.
Okay.
Away from the microphone so you don't hear me go,
You're going to hear a name and you're going to recognize it. All right, so here we go. Quote, "It was the night before the presidential election, November 2020. The isolation of the pandemic had set in, and my friend, Holly, same as Holly from the Ouija board demon."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Is this the first time one of our listeners' submissions has ever connected to a previous listener?
I think so, yeah.
I hope Holly's okay, by the way, because I think there was a kind of a fall off in terms of communication with her and somebody we set her up with. Which, if for whatever reason, I hope she's all right.
So I'll keep going. So Holly and Molly had decided to take a camping trip down in San Luis's Valley. Given that it was November, we packed for the cold and expected to spend the night sleeping in her little Subaru. As we set up the camp for the night, we made dinner, hot chocolate, and all the good stuff. The clouds started to clear up, and we were dazed by the most beautiful view of the stars. At about midnight, we were huddled around a huge bonfire I had built to stay warm. The temperature dropped suddenly. Everything became frosted over, and we noticed a light close to the ridgeline of the Blanca Peak. It seemed to have come out of the mountain vertically, moved slowly parallel to the ridgeline, hovered for about 5 minutes, then took a dramatic 90-degree turn and zoomed off into the night. That was the first weird thing we saw. After that, we were not tired at all and stayed up all night, tending to the fire so we would stay warm. At about 2 a.m., we saw this huge light, way too big to be a star or planet, rise out of the peak of Mount Blanca. As we watch it, we notice 5 red lights around it start to move closer to the main light. Eventually, they got so close that they disappeared. A few moments later, the red lights reappeared and drifted away from the huge white light. At this point, it was about 4 a.m., and there was no way we were going to sleep. The lights hovered in the same spot for about an hour before it got uncharacteristically cloudy for an hour, then dissipated. After that, the temperature increased and the frost disappeared. I knew the SOV was a hotspot for UFO activity, but I never expected to see anything like this. The timing of it occurred the night before the election was particularly eerie. And I'm asking myself, what was the significance of what we witnessed on that camping trip? Some more details from that night were that my friends, dogs, local dogs, and all the coyotes were barking and howling the whole time we watched this take place, and the whole experience had this very creeped ambience as we left. We left the next morning and tried to dissect what we saw on the 4-hour car ride home, and we have our theories, but there can't be really any way for us to fully understand what we saw. Once we got home, I hopped in the shower and noticed a funny mark on my foot, almost as if my skin had been bleached in the shape of a triangle close to my heel. Since then, the both of us had witnessed some very strange activity on the Front Range of the Rockies, and have even seen black triangle-shaped UFOs since then. End quote.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of a crazy story.
It makes me want to go there, just like Hamilton, Montana. It's the same effect. We'll just hit it up on the way. Man, not that I want to get a mark on me. When would that have happened? Like, if this is, and I'm not saying they're wrong or lying or that, you know, they're not connected or whatever, but like during her story, when do you think that mark would have happened?
I don't know. Do you think that they were abducted and they lost time, or they lost no time?
You think she would have mentioned a particular point in time when things got fuzzy.
I don't know.
Although it seems like 4 a.m. kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I know they had trouble sleeping originally, but just staying out by the campfire until 4 a.m. I mean, if you're in good conversation and you're out camping, I guess that's not crazy. But I wonder, what if it was like midnight? They saw that. What if the time difference between when they saw it the first time and when they saw it the second time, everything in between then was completely like fuzzy?
I know. She didn't mention a shift in time, but I wonder if that's some kind of marking or some kind of like...
Could it be something like in our mind, the way like physical reality, something has to come up to you and make that mark on you, kind of like branding a cow or whatever?
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Like, what if the aliens have the technology to... The way that you feel a breeze, you know what I mean? Like the way that you feel air come and hit you, they're able to accurately like focus that energy so that they were able to like brand her from a distance. And it's almost like, what if it's like a tracking thing? It's like they knew that she saw, so they want to keep track of the people that saw. Although she didn't say Holly had any marks, correct?
No, she did not say that. She just said herself.
The aliens are like, she's dealing with enough shit. All right. She has her own problems. We ain't trying to mess with that.
Yeah.
That nonsense.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wonder if it is some kind of like, you got to make sure the human has her Bluetooth on so we can brand her.
Yeah, her Bluetooth was, her connection was off.
Yeah.
She had her AirPods on. So when she was talking about the dogs, is she saying that she heard every dog in the county barking, or that everybody in the town center came together on Facebook and said, my dog was barking between 4 and 4:30 last
night?
I don't
know. It was 2020, so it could be a combination of like Facebook posts in the area and also hearing a lot of barking. Or maybe it's just like an expression of saying that all the dogs I heard were going crazy.
I feel like there's a conspiracy theory in here as well as she's bringing up the election.
Yeah. I don't know. But I noticed
this is in the discussion. So right.
I know it's the five dots. And I'm like, you saw the dots, and the dots are a thing. The five red dots.
What are the five red dots?
She saw five red dots.
Yeah. What does that mean?
It made me think of like the time you saw red dots. Oh,
over the water.
Yeah. You know, your huge UFO encounter that you called me.
That's true. She got to experience it. I bet if she would have called Holly, she would have been a lot more engaged and energetic than what you gave me.
Well, you know what? Didn't you call me like midnight?
That's a lot better than 4 a.m. Listen, I'm going back to that beach in a couple of months, and if anything weird happens, you better be ready.
Okay, I'm going to keep myself pumped for it. Well, let's move on for right now. Again, we'll touch that in discussion. So this last story is from Iowa and from a listener named Sally. It's a unique situation that she gave us, but we took this thing and it's basically, I boil it down to haunted objects. You know this story. That's okay.
I looked at it before. It's been a few months. It was before you were labeling things short. And I think it might have even been before. I can't speak to it, but I've glanced over it. Yeah,
it's an old story, and we just haven't applied it to anything yet. So it's nice that we get to do it now. So I'm gonna start. This is from Sally. Quote: I have a ton of toys and figures that move on their own, all of which started a few years ago with a Toy Story 2 Woody doll my brother gave me, which is probably the most random.
That's too coincidental.
Oh, because it's moving, because the movie's about toys that move.
Yes.
Yes. The doll itself wasn't what acted weird at first, though, so it didn't start with the Toy Story 2 doll. It was actually the guitar, the toy guitar that came with it. To make the guitar work, you had to press one of the two buttons on it, and no matter which one you'd press, the guitar would play at the same tune. But not long after my brother gave me the doll, that's when I started to notice that the guitar would play by itself, randomly throughout the day and in the middle of the night. The tune that it would play when it played by itself was different from the tune it normally played. When it played by itself, it was slower and deeper. After a few weeks, I tried turning the guitar off, but it still kept going by itself, and I took out the batteries, and it still played by itself. I did eventually put the batteries back in, though. But then I started to notice that the Woody doll was moving. I would leave my room and come back to find him gone in a different part of my room or in another room in the house altogether. Then eventually all my other figures and toys started to move. Sometimes I would walk into my room and find some of the toys standing in a circle on the floor with one standing on top of something else, which always made me think that the toys were having meanings.
Sounds more like a ritual to me.
A ritual? Yeah.
Yeah, like a circular. Like you got all the toys holding hands. Like there's a potato head in the middle that just got like cut up.
Where'd you get those robes?
Etsy. It's a baked potato in the middle. It used to be Mr. Potato Head. They cooked them.
The two weirdest incidents of my toys moving on their own was the one time I walked out of my room and came back in to find one doll hanging by a rope from her neck.
See, that's not meetings. That's what people feel like doing during meetings sometimes. But that's creepy stuff.
Yeah, that's reminds me of the haunted doll head from the sewer. Remember that?
That's a good point. Yeah. I'd be sad if I didn't remember that, but yeah.
The other weird thing is the one time I had my two nieces over, and I told them about how my toys moved, so they would help me find them whenever any of us noticed that they were gone. But one time, the three of us walked out of my room and came back and to see some of the toys standing on a shelf with one of my nieces' phone up against the wall with a video of a playthrough of a Toy Story video game.
Wait, say that again?
So they left the room, and they came back, and the phone was against the wall, and the toys gathered around it, watching a YouTube video of a playthrough, like Markiplier or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Markiplier.
I know you do. That's why I used him. Those were some of the strangest incidents that Sally has had with her dolls moving. But she did tell us that none of the toys have moved in months, but I fully expect them to. So that is the end of this encounter with the haunted dolls. I don't know.
That I feel like we got that one so long ago that she could literally be like an adult now. I think we should start a GoFundMe and get her one of those ring camera things, like the phone door, the door knob. What is it? It's called a ring or what's it called? You know what I'm talking about? The door cameras.
Yeah, the ring.
It is ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should start a GoFundMe, get her one and just put it in her room and send us the footage.
I wonder, I don't know. I think it's implied that the guitar had something evil in it that possessed the dolls. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's true, because the dolls did not start moving until the guitar came.
Yeah, and the guitar was playing by itself.
They do say they rock and roll, right? And like the devil.
It's the devil's music, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you're looking at this as like what was the catalyst, I would definitely say it seems like it was the guitar. I think my initial try and disprove it thoughts are that somebody was pranking her. Like, we don't really get the family dynamic.
That's true.
Which is fine. We don't know if she has any siblings or her parents have sick sense of humor. But the only thing that makes me not think that is even if you want to prank someone, if you take the batteries out of an object.
Yeah, you can't make it go.
Right. So the only thing I would think of for that is if there's energy that was causing it to still play.
Yeah.
Which could be this entity that, like you were saying, a haunted object. The guitar is the haunted object, and then maybe it starts spreading to the other toys, but I don't know enough about how things can transfer. Like, if they don't have enough energy to get into her, or if it's even trying to get into her, and they're just going from the toys. But I also don't understand what the intent is for this thing to go through the toys. Like,
I don't know. Maybe it's more of a medium where it can actually do things, like hang another doll by the neck.
What's the point of that other than to freak a young girl out? You know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, there you go right there. You get the energy from scaring somebody. Like, that's the idea behind, I think, ghost scaring people is that they get energy from it. You feed into the fear.
She comes in, instead of watching a Let's Play, they're like, how to scare little girls 101. That seems highly unusual to me, all these toys watching a Let's Play.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on to the discussion so we can talk about this stuff in more depth. So now is the time we like to stop the episode and thank you. And thank the people on our Patreon at the time of this recording, for joining us and getting all the fun, cool stuff that we like to do outside of just the podcast. And those people are Derek, Ken, Haley, Claudia, Erica, and Letitia. Thank you so much for, you know, listening to the listener submission interviews, the one that's just about to come out. It might be out by now actually already. And all the quizzes. There's one coming up next month. I have no idea what it's going to be about because I think you're doing that one.
I am doing that, and it's going to be ridiculously hard. Or I'm going to try to make it really, really hard.
Good. I hope so. You need a win, to be honest.
I do. I need a W in my life. We also play Do You Believe Bizarre, where producer Ben tells us two real stories, makes up one. We have to guess which is which. We respond to your social media responses. If you're part of the dedicated tier, after a few months, you automatically get a Patreon exclusive shirt for free.
Such a cool design with a goddamn astronaut.
Yes, right. It is an astronaut diving into the unknown and the unusual.
So, again, thank you to all those people who joined as the recording of this podcast. We appreciate you probably more than you know.
Yeah, seriously. It really does mean a lot. Also, it's a great time to join. For $2 is our minimum tier. Remember, when we get to 200 patrons, Charlie will be getting a Believing the Bizarre tattoo inked forever on his body.
That's right.
And it hasn't been relevant lately. It's going to start being relevant again soon. You do get ad-free episodes on our Patreon.
So. Yes. And myself and my tattooist are both very excited for when we do that. But let's get back to the episode. So, Tyler, we just listened to three pretty gosh dang interesting stories.
Dude, can this be like the gosh dang interesting, like, you know, when they say like the not director's cut, but like the X-rated, like it's when a movie comes out, but it's like a different version. This is the gosh dang interesting.
The TV cut for FX or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like that'd be a good podcast name. This is the gosh dang interesting podcast.
What? So I don't know. How do you feel about the first story? The diddle, I don't know what it's called. Dittmer. The Dittmer shadow.
I'm struggling with whether or not I think it's all one thing.
I know. I think
it, now, Justin, these are all Justin's experiences. Yes. And I'm not diminishing that. I just don't know if everything, it like, it's one story and it's told as one story, but I don't know if it's the same character in the whole story.
Right. Is the villain the same thing?
I feel like the first thing felt incredibly paranormal and like an elonged shadow figure, which is terrifying. The second thing, did he see it or was it just the noise in the rock?
It's just the noise in the rock.
So essentially that could be either of them or neither. And then the third thing that ran away.
Yeah.
Didn't give me the same visuals or vibe as unless this thing can change its appearance.
I mean, it's described tall, thin, and black in all the in 1 and 3. So, I mean, it sounds the same, but also it's a different, you're right, it's different almost mentality, right? Like, in the first one, it feels just kind of like this looming menace, but in the third one, it feels almost animalistic.
Yes, it definitely feels like a flesh and blood creature. Now, whether or not it's a normal, like you said, potentially a bear versus a cryptid, I don't know. I don't know. Probably it leans more cryptid, I think, but I'm also probably looking through it through a paranormal lens right now.
I think
now.
So too. I think I am too. And that's not necessarily bad. Like, this is the Believe Bizarre. We are trying to see it through that lens.
Are we rating these at the end or discussion rate?
Let's discuss then rate so it's fresh.
Okay. I think that Justin experienced everything he did. I don't think he made it up. And I believe all of these freaked him out. The one that is the scariest to me is actually the first one, because it's like, it's almost like a calm menacing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like so tall he couldn't see the head, this looming shadow figure. Third one obviously is creepy too because it's very tangible. And if I had to combine, it sounds like the first encounter is one thing, and potentially encounter 2 and 3 are something else. So I'm going to, in terms of this being one entity, I'm going to go skeptical, but I do believe Justin had these experiences and they freaked him out. And I just don't think that this is, I don't think we're getting one cohesive story about the same thing.
I think the fact that Justin was pretty young when the first thing happened, pretty young when the second thing happened, and then he said that the third thing happened recently, I think you're right. I don't think it's the same shadow coming back to haunt him. I think it's something else. I think it's easy to combine them because they might have looked fairly similar. And you're right. I believe they actually happened to him. So I think you're right. I go with the idea that they're all the same thing, skeptical. I don't know if I buy that. But obviously, I believe something he is seeing, the things he's seeing. So, skeptical and skeptical. So, let's move on to the next encounter with Molly.
Molly and Holly. Holly and Molly.
That's right.
I wonder if this was the same friend's house that she went to in the story. I can't remember. Because remember, she drives. One friend stays behind and has his own experience. And she goes to another friend's house where, like, they see, like, the creature, like the entity, the demons stand up.
I don't know. I think it might be.
I can't remember. I'm just throwing it out there.
Did she name her?
I don't know. Sorry, that's completely separate from what we're talking about.
It's okay. So Holly and Molly, they go to this place that is known to be active with alien sightings.
Did she say that she went there with the intent of seeing something, or they were just hiking and it just happened to be?
No, they were camping. They're just trying to get out of the headspace of, oh my gosh, is DT going to be president again?
Or they're hiding from this demon.
They didn't say that specifically, but maybe that too. But they're just going out to chill, basically. And they stay up probably pretty late, and they see this thing in the sky, multiple things in the sky. They see the triangle thing at first, and then the red lights and the bright light, and then the red lights again. And it seems like a lot of shit to see in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a very active night, but even though it's a very active one night, it almost seems like they just happen to catch it right place, right time versus like the one thing that always stood out to me that was odd about the Hamilton lights, which I gave it a believable, so I'm not trying to knock that, you know, later, is the consistency of it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like aliens wouldn't reveal themselves every day. So I'm able to buy kind of like either however you want to look at it, wrong place, wrong time versus right place, right time to experience this, which obviously for Molly and her ankle, maybe not the best place. But it feels like a traditional UFO encounter experience. It not does. To make it, it really, not really that does. It's not interesting or unique, but nothing, this aspect of it doesn't feel crazy. And like, I love the details of like the 4 hours back, they're dissecting what it could have meant. Like that feels so natural. Like that's exact. Mm-hmm. Like you yeah. would not be able to talk about it on the drive. Like, like one thing I try to look for in stories is if like the little things add up. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing that like takes me, like the unusual aspects of the story when they're the paranormal is when I always lean more believable, rather than when somebody acts differently than what you would expect them to. Not that there's expectations on how everybody should handle something paranormal the same, right. But when the unusual characteristics of a story are more so what a character is doing or how they react versus the paranormal entity themselves, that, spoiler alert, is when I tend to lean more skeptical, unbelievable. But there's so many little moments in this story that ring true to me, and the unusual aspects of it are the paranormal. Like we're questioning whether or not what happened to her ankle, you know, like what marked her ankle versus like, why was she doing this? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no. And she acted normal. She was at a fire. Then she had a conversation about what the hell they saw. And then she took a shower. Totally rational.
What if she just like had her foot? Have you ever put your feet up by the fire and it like started melting the bottom of your shoes?
Yes.
What if she just had her foot? She was sitting funky. It was cutting off her nerves. She had her foot near the fire, and it just accidentally got branded by something sticking out.
Well, I really hate that it's in the shape. Like, it's bleached. I don't like that detail.
And it's the shape of the UFO, right?
Yeah.
Triangle?
Yeah. 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 And I wonder if this Mount Blanca is like Mount Shasta.
I don't know.
That's what got me thinking, because she mentioned Mount Blanca twice. I'm just wondering if there's a connection there.
I was wondering why that name sounded so familiar. It's a crypto thing. You can own. I'm not getting into this. I own some crypto that it relates to that. But that's what's. I'm like, why does it sound so familiar? I don't know. It definitely intrigues me. It makes me want to check out this area. I want to go to Colorado anyways, but. Yeah. I think you could spend hours trying to imagine why and how she got marked, and we'll never be able to figure it out. Or
yeah,
no.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say this one's believable.
I agree. I think like it would definitely be between viable and believable, but the unusual aspects of it are what you like it. It does make sense. I'm not going to go into that. I already kind of ranted on this. I agree. I think it feels like a genuine UFO encounter. Hopefully her ankle's okay. Like, does it go away after a while?
I don't know. She didn't say if it went away. I'm curious.
Would you own it? Like, would you get a tattoo over it or something? Like, make it your own? Like, you don't own me. You didn't mark me. I'm turning it into something I want it to be.
Well, I don't know if it's a marker, if there's something underneath it, like...
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Like a tracking beacon or something?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I think it's more than just a mark. I think if it's something, I think there's like a chip there or something. I'm not saying she... Oh god. Maybe.
Like, does she... They don't know if she lives, like, it's like, does she live at Starbucks? You know what I mean? Like, if you had a tracking marker on you, what would be the one place other than your house that they might think is your house? Don't say work. That's boring.
No, your house, man.
Dude, they come to my house looking for you.
Yeah.
Like, we grabbed him. It's Charlie. And then they open the bag and it's me. It's like the Nightmare Before Christmas and it's the bunny. Like, that's not Charlie. All right, on to Toy Story.
Yeah, Toy Story from Sally from Iowa. I don't know. Iowa's got some weird shit in general. Iowa's a strange state.
Iowa's strange because no matter how comfortable and knowledgeable you are with Iowa, I don't think anyone knows where it is on the map. That or it's just me.
Like, I could probably pick it out.
I now know where it is because of a different podcast we were on, but I think it kind of catches you by surprise, just like this story.
I mean, it's got an amazing writers program in Iowa, and also it's the Iowa caucus, and it's got the Hawkeye football team.
Do you just have? Are you on Wikipedia for Iowa right now?
No, those are the three things I know about Iowa.
So let me just put this out there: the only way that I'm not going to believe that toys just naturally started moving on their own.
Uh-huh.
I'm not, like, this isn't Small Soldiers. Gorgonites. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
It, for me, it's either some type of conduit or like the guitar was a conduit, or something was trapped in the guitar and it then led to affecting the other toys, or somebody in her house is pranking her, which doesn't answer the guitar thing, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I think with the frequency of the toys moving themselves, I think the idea that someone pranking her is a little far-fetched because of how frequently it have to happen. She said it happened a lot. I think you're right, though. I think if we're going to go anything, this is any kind of supernatural, it's a conduit.
Have we, I feel like we have, and I feel guilty for not remembering. What kind of episodes or topics have we done where an entity has gone into an object? Like, obviously the doll's head, we touched on it, but it wasn't quite like this.
Annabelle, Robert, the hands resist him. Those are the only ones, I think.
That's true. Those, I don't, like, it seems different. Like, the way that Annabelle or Robert affected the environment feels so much different than making other toys move.
Yeah, these toys are like the total B squad, where Annabelle is like the top tier SWAT squad, you know?
Yeah, Robert. Well, I mean, and it's also, maybe it's not fair to compare this to Robert or Annabelle.
Those, it might, like, not be. It might just be a different thing.
I guess I don't understand the intent. Like, I feel like from what I've read, and I could do way more research on this type of thing, doesn't it try to, like, get invited in so that it can leave the fake body, the fake object, and get into a person, correct?
Well, okay, so that was Annabelle, but Robert is different. Robert was different than that. And the hands resist him, also different.
Yeah, that just the way it affected people. Like, okay, so for instance, she said sometimes when she was alone that the guitar would sound slower and different.
When it would play by itself, it would sound slower.
Okay. That seems like how does that... I guess if I'm willing to buy that they're moving dolls, and it should be understood that it can... But that's like manipulating the soundtrack that's built into the device of the toy.
Well, I mean, what if you think of it like this? What if there's enough power from the entity to power the guitar, but not enough to make it play at full capacity? Maybe it's just an inherent... If it slowed down on battery, maybe that's how it would sound too.
I guess that's true. If I think of some older toys, sometimes they do get kind of that sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this one... I have a difficult time wrapping my head around this one.
I think it's hard because the toys in question are from pop culture. Like Woody from Toy Story, or, you know, stuff like that. I think that makes it more difficult.
What about... The toys being surrounded by the phone or whatever, watching a Let's Play or watching Was it Toy Story?
It was a Toy Story Let's Play. Yeah, that, I don't know. That puts a real crux in my argument. I don't know.
That's it feels like pranking.
Yeah, that one does for sure.
I don't know. And I don't mean to diminish Sally's experience. Let me be real. If I experienced this, absolutely terrifying. Like I said, or I mentioned before, I feel like there's be like a certain level of experimentation. Like she's young, so she probably doesn't have access maybe to like a laptop or something like that. But I would totally want to set up some type of video surveillance, like something, even like the battery life on a digital camera doesn't last long enough that you would need like full time baby monitor type stuff. But I don't know. Like I would lose my mind if this happened to me.
It also could be the writings of youth and inexperience too.
Yeah. I mean, this could be really dangerous if it escalated and it was something attached to this object.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like, what are the stages of demonic possession? They're coming in, and then there's
infestation,
oppression, and then possession. So this would fall under oppression or maybe infestation.
Probably infestation. Mm-hmm. If it was, but we don't even know if that's what it's trying to do.
Right. We don't know. That's part of the reason. We don't know the goal.
And I guess I'm trying to put human intent on something that who knows. But I hope it's pranking, and I'm not trying to. I just said diminish, but I'll use it again. I don't mean to diminish Sally's experiences or make her think like I don't think she's lying. It just, I don't know. It doesn't add up to me. It doesn't. I'm having a hard time with intent and understanding what's happening here. So I'm actually going to go skeptical again. But I mean, more information, more experiences. Hopefully, I hope you actually haven't had more experiences with them.
I'm actually going to go viable with this because I think that the conduits to spirits can take many different forms. And the fact that it is like modern day toys that you could buy at like, I don't say Costco. I don't know. That you can buy at like Kohl's or something. Yeah. Target, Kohl's, whatever. I think those can be still taken and used as means of frightening. And maybe that's the goal, is to frighten, to cause oppression.
It's entirely possible. Who knows?
And that is the episode, the Listener Submission Collection Volume 4. Wow.
I love it. I love the short encounters. Obviously, I love the longer ones that are full episodes. But these little collections just give you a bunch of different tastes. Because, you know, you open up the app and you're like, oh, it's an alien episode. Maybe you're not an alien. Or, oh, it's a cryptid episode. Maybe you're not into cryptids and you skip that episode. You totally shouldn't. You totally shouldn't. There might be a few good jokes in there. But I think this is cool because you literally go in as... When Charlie and I go into these episodes, because we don't know what the topic is unless it was Patreon voted, it's blind and it's always exciting and entertaining. And I think you get a taste of that with these listener submission collections because you have no idea what kind of stories you're going to get. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I've done like the last three listener collections.
You did two. Okay. We're 2-2.
All right. Well, it's your turn.
Okay.
Man, well, it sucks that you're not here, but next episode we'll be in the same room.
Yeah, it totally actually doesn't suck that I'm not in Ohio right now. Miss the family, miss, you know, our time zone because my brain is just glue right now, sticking to whatever it can, but it's all good. I like traveling, so we'll be good. Hopefully the audio doesn't suck.
I will see what happens. So if you like this episode, you want to hear more, we got a lot more stuff. Like we mentioned in the mid episode, we got like social media responses where we respond to social media responses. It's like Inception. It's the second time I use that, but it's like Inception. And we have adventures where we talk about movies, and we just watched The Devil's Advocate. I had never seen that before.
Great movie. Great movie.
It was incredible. I'm really glad we watched that one. Not as happy that we watched the other movie before that, but that's okay.
And by we watch it, we mean us and other patrons in the dedicated tier can literally join the Netflix party chat, and we all watch it together and talk about it in real time. We also do Google Hangouts if you just want to chill, talk with us for a little bit. Polls, interviews, ad-free content. If you binged us, if you've been listening forever and you're just looking for a little more content, maybe your drive got a little longer, maybe you got some flights coming up, you're just looking for a little more content, want a free awesome shirt, check out our Patreon. But if not, we will always love and appreciate the people that are listening to the main episodes. It means so much to us. We've seen a lot of growth, and seriously, it means so much to Charlie and I. We always screenshot everything, all the comments. We love the Instagram DMs. If we do our best to get to you in time. If it looks like we just read it, it's probably because maybe Charlie looked at it and he's like, Tyler will respond, or I looked at it. I'm like, oh, this is totally a Charlie thing. So we apologize, but keep them coming. We appreciate the DMs.
Yeah, we do. And we also appreciate reviews to the episodes. If you're on Apple, you can leave a review and a 5-star. We love reading those. We love hearing them responding to each other and say, hey, look at this awesome review. It made my day. Or if you even on Spotify, you can just leave a 5-star, and that's just growing. And it's crazy to see that just climb, and we're going to hit 1,000 sooner or later. And that's nuts.
And if you listen to an episode and it pisses you off or you hate it, here's my recommendation. And this goes through most things in life. Sleep on it. You know what I mean? Like, don't give us a 1 or 2. Put your phone down. Go outside on a walk. Get some fresh air. Lay down. Spray some like lavender stuff from Bath and Body Works on your pillow. Get some good night's sleep. Wake up. Stretch. Drink some orange juice. And then if you still want to leave a bad review, we can live with that. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. Sorry. I just saw that. All right. Both snotty boys.